All right, good morning, everybody. Let me get set up here quick. So I even have a note on my computer that says, keep it short. I'm not going to lie, it's not my strong suit, but I'm going to do my best. I'm going to try. I'll do it. I think I can do it. All right. So I've been sharing on vision when I've had the opportunity to speak here, and I'm going to continue with it. Quick overview. So we talked about what is vision. We've talked about trusting God in vision. We talked about distraction and how distractions kill vision. And we ended up in Isaiah 55, and that's where we're going to pick up again. Yeah, it's funny how that works. No. This is the chapter that I thought I was going to get through in 1 week, and I didn't. It's probably going to be like 3 or 4, but whatever. So we started in the first week I spoke on this, it was Habakkuk 2:2-4. Well, 3, we'll say. And the Lord answered me. He said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he who reads it may run with it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So vision, we all have a personal, I believe we all should have and can possess a personal vision from God as to where we're supposed to be doing, going, what we're supposed to be doing. It's seeing what God has for us, and my favorite definition is divine communication. It's this divine communication that we have, but it comes through, and I'm going to keep preaching it, relationship. If we don't know our God, we don't know what our God wants us doing. Each and every one of us has something to do. No matter what point in life you're at, no matter the degree of your knowledge, every single one of us has something we can and should be doing, right? Because we are different. We are his children. We have a different purpose on this earth than everybody else who doesn't know him. And that's to bring them to him, right? And so my goal is, what is this? What I want this to build up. I gave you cards to write down your vision. If you haven't done it yet, do it. Even if it's a word, I don't care what it is, just have something to show yourself. This is it. And if it evolves, add more. This is a process. It's a process. So today we're going to be continuing in Isaiah, and I want to show the importance of knowing who he is. Because that's what we're trying to understand here. That's what we're trying to gain knowledge about, is who he is. Because if we know who he is, we know how good he is. We know how merciful he is. We know how loving he is. And we also know how just he is. These are all attributes that we're going to find in here. So Isaiah 55, we're going to start in verse 4. It says, indeed, Isaiah 55, 4, indeed I have given him, this is talking about Jesus, so this is all prophesying, these next two verses are prophesying about Christ, right? Indeed I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. So we're getting this picture of the coming Christ. He'll be a leader, a commander. Nations will run to him. So we're seeing that there's something here. Why would they run to him? Do we run towards danger? Do we run towards things that hurt us? There's a big old bear over there. Oh, baby, come here, you know, and you're going to get your butt kicked. We don't run towards things that are going to harm us, that are going to damage us. You know, well, there are some people like that, but there was a time. You know, do we get excited for abuse unless you're in the Marine Corps? No. You know, that kind of stuff bums us out a little bit, right? When you were first, when you first became a Christian, what was it? It was a promise of something better, was it not? It was the gospel. It was the good news of the gospel that caused us to run to him instead of whatever else we were going through in this life. But unfortunately, through bad teaching, bad doctrine, as soon as you get saved, all of a sudden, here comes the regulations, baby. Don't do this, don't do that, don't say this, don't say that. Don't go there, don't do, you know, and on we go. And somehow, us running to this goodness, us running to this grace, turns into works, and we just beat ourselves down, and then we get to a point where I really don't want to do this anymore. This wasn't what I thought it was going to be. It's not what it should be. Because in Christ there is freedom. Freedom. That's what Christ offers, is freedom. Freedom. So we have to decide, what is my thought? How do I see God? How do I see him? Do I see him as a tyrant? Do I see him as the enemy? Because if that's how we're seeing our God, we're missing it. Because that's not who he is. That's a misunderstanding of Scripture. That's really not knowing Scripture. It's the challenge of seeking him. Because it says in Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. How can I come boldly when I'm scared to death? How can I come boldly when all I think he's going to do is punish me? Or reject me? Turn me away? But it says come boldly because that's not who he is. It says come boldly that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. That's who our God is. That's what's being portrayed here in these verses. We have to dig into this and we have to know who our God is. That he's good, he's loving, he's merciful. He wants us to walk this life out with him, because when we walk this life out with him, we're walking the best life we possibly can. There is nothing better outside of a life with Jesus Christ. There's nothing better. I fooled myself for many years thinking I'll find it. I'll do it. I'm one of those types. I've gotten better as I've gotten older, but you tell me I can't do something, I'll find a way. Even if it hurts me, and I've felt a lot of pain because of it. But this is that one area that instead of finding better, I just kept digging the hole. I kept going deeper and deeper and deeper and darker and darker and darker. Because without Jesus Christ, we have nothing. What Jesus did on the cross kicked that door open for relationship again, for personal relationship. It kicked that door open so we could receive the Holy Spirit. We could receive the power that got him through this life. We have to keep that in mind. We have to understand that he desires to know us. Or I should say, he desires for us to know him, because he knows you. He knows me. All my faults. He knows it, yet he still loves me, and yet he still died for me. And he's just encouraging relationship, relationship, relationship. Because as this relationship has grown, I've caught the vision. I don't have the whole vision yet, but bits and pieces are better than nothing. Right? Bits and pieces at least get me moving. Because I was stuck for a long time. And we have to understand, just a verse up in Hebrews 4:15, it says, we do not serve a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tested as we are, yet without sin. He knows. There's nothing you're going through that he cannot help with. Get that out of your head right now. This is too big for you, God. I've heard it. He just doesn't understand what I'm going through. Don't be so self-righteous. I'm not going to be nice about that one. Don't be so self-centered to think that the God of the universe, the God who sent his son for you, can't figure out what's going on in your life and can't find you a direction to get out of it. Let's not get silly here. Silly is a good word, right? Safe word? Safe word, good. I just, you know, who do we think we are sometimes? And I don't want to come down as a downer here, but man, we got to get over ourselves. I'm sorry you went through that, but there's a way out of it. I'm sorry we go through hard times. I'm sorry we go through difficult times, but we don't have to stay in the difficult times because of these promises. These promises. So we need to stop treating him like a tyrant. That is not who he is. That is not who the scriptures bear him out to be. Oh, but pastor, what about the Old Testament? You don't understand the Old Testament if that's what you think he is. Sorry, because that's who I thought he was. I can relate. That's who I thought he was. Do what I say or you're toast, man. That's what I thought, and I didn't do what he said, and things got rough. That's not who he is. He wants the best for us. No matter how low you are, no matter how much things hurt, he wants the best. He wants deliverance. He wants health. He wants knowledge. He wants understanding. He wants everything for you to walk this life out. He wants that for you. We're the ones that get in the way and say, you know what? I'm just not worthy of that. It has nothing to do with how worthy we are. That's what the cross was for. We need to get ourselves out of the way, because I can still fall into these traps, especially now that I'm a pastor. That's big time, baby. It's big time. Expectations go through the roof, man. Everybody's watching. There's much less grace now when I mess up. Because I'm because I'm the pastor. I mean, I can walk down that road, but I'm not going to. Because I need just as much grace as anybody else. Now, my goal is to grow and not need as much grace in those situations, because I'm just growing out of those situations. Right? We can do that. We can grow out of sin. We can grow out of bad habits. Absolutely. We can. I've grown out of some and I'm working on others. You don't need to know them. But I hope you see where I'm going here. So he's here for us. He wants us to experience the promises of the word. He wants us because he wants you to catch his vision. Because what he has for you satisfies. It satisfies. It brings meaning. It brings joy. It brings purpose. Purpose and plan all come with vision. Because if you have nothing ahead of you, how do you plan for it? I can plan for a lot of things, but most of the time, if I'm not walking in that path that he wants me to, I'm planning for nothing. I'm coming up with plans for everybody else, right? Because, you know, I can see what Mackenzie needs to do. I can see it. So I'm gonna let you know you got to do this and this and this and this. And you know what? Maybe I should do that too. That sounds like a good plan. But instead of Mackenzie just walking out that plan, I latch onto that plan and I say, you know what? It's a pretty good plan. I think we could really accomplish some things there. even though I wasn't supposed to be a part of it. Not that it's not good, but even good intentions don't really matter because we waste a lot of time with good intentions. We waste a lot of money. We just waste when it's based on good intentions. But when it's based on vision and when it's based on what God is leading you to do, that's where fruit comes. That's where abundance comes. That's where everything we need comes because it's His plan, not my plan. So back to Isaiah 55. I'm going to hit two more scriptures here. 6 and 7. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. It says, "Seek the Lord." Now, I will preface this. This is talking about unbelievers. But we're going to do something with it. So it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he was near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." So I read this and I say, awesome. Because I can see the mercy here. I can see his grace here. Because he's pleading, right? He's pleading, come to me. I'm calling you. Come to me because I can help you. I can change you. I can do all these things through you and for you. Come to me. So that's awesome. We see the love, we see the mercy, but we also see that he's just. He's just. Where is it? Because it says at the end of verse 7, "For he will abundantly pardon, but he only pardons if we receive." Because he's a just God. What Jesus did on that cross paid for everything that we've messed up and everything that we will continue to mess up. Right? So that pardon can turn into punishment depending on our choice. You know, and these are, I don't necessarily like to talk about this side of it, but it's part of it because that's who he is. He is justice. He is love. He is mercy. He is grace, but he is also justice. And justice will be served in this life or the next. We can get all worked up about what everybody else is doing. We can get all worked up how people are ruining our country. And yes, we should care. But justice will be served. That's right. I don't have to burden myself with that. You don't have to burden yourself with that. You walk out that vision that God is showing you and let him deal with justice. Because he's much better at it than we are. Let him deal with the judgment. Because he knows. Our job is to speak the truth of the word. Our job is to preach the gospel to every ear that will listen. That's what we're here to do. We're here to bring hope. We're here to turn as many to Christ so on that judgment day, there's much more pardoned than punished. And I get it, not everyone will receive. But I don't know who that is, so I need to let them know. Yeah. It's not my job to pick out who I talk to. It's not my job to judge who I should talk to, because if it was my job, I wouldn't talk to anybody. Because I'm really comfortable not doing anything. My past life was really comfortable, not doing anything, not saying anything, not talking to anybody. Pretty good at it. But that just shows you the love and nature of God, because when I let him start leading and guiding me, it wasn't about me anymore. All right. I don't want to do it, but I'll do it. It started like that. I'm not going to lie. I don't like the idea of standing up and talking to people, although I was good at it. I've done it before. I was in drama in high school. I had to memorize lines for 2 hours of a show. You know, I can do it. I'm very capable. I didn't want to do it. Especially in this scenario, because I had nothing to share. I was a wreck. I didn't want to get up here and tell the good news because I didn't know the good news. I had nothing, you know, I needed to be made usable. So the first step was just saying, okay, I don't want to do it, but if you want me to do it, here I am. Here I am. And he's faithful. He brought people across my path to help. He brought Charis Bible College across my path to help. He brought leaders in my life like Pastor Jonah and Pastor John and people of that nature to help. Because we need each other. Weird. I needed help. I couldn't figure it out on my own, as much as I hate to admit it. But in these verses, we can still see his grace and his love, though. Right? We can still see that he loves unbelievers. His Spirit was poured out upon all the earth because he wants to draw them in. Now, they don't know him personally like we do, but the Spirit is speaking. Romans 1, I believe it's 18, talks about everybody instinctually knows that there is a God. It's built in us. And we have the choice to seek it, no matter how little we understand, or to just keep suppressing it and suppressing it and suppressing it until it gets quieter than everything else around us. But deep down inside, we know. Everybody knew at one time. He built it in us. Think about that. Just dawned on me. He built that in us to help us seek him. Even without the Spirit of God residing in us, he built it in us so we would seek. Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. He's drawing. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He doesn't want anyone to reject him because we're his creation. We're his creation. Any good parent doesn't like to watch their children fail. I get there's bad parents out there. I'm talking about good parents who love their children. There's a distinction there. We don't want to watch our children fail, especially to the point of death and separation forever. He's a loving, caring God. So now, I believe that we can take these verses and insert us in them, right? So he's telling unbelievers what they need to do. We're now believers, so it can tell us, it can give us a guide as well. So verse 6, it says, seek. Seek the Lord. Now, we have found him, right? We're saved. We made that choice, but that doesn't mean we stop seeking. Everything doesn't stop at salvation. Everything begins at salvation. We don't get saved and then get stuck. We get saved and we start seeking. That's how it should be. Because this is a whole new world. Everything is around us is changing. And so I went through and I just, on my Bible app, I typed in seek. And man, you want to do a cool word study, just type in seek and see all. I found out that seek is used 244 times in the Bible. And depending on the tense, 309 times. So it's used a lot. So there's plenty of material there for you to study out. But here's some of the phrases you'll see. Seek first the kingdom of God. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Those who seek the Lord understand all. Those who diligently seek me will find me. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek and you will find. You see where I'm going here? That applies to us as well. Right? It applies to us. Next it says, call upon his name. When we get saved, do we just stop interaction? No, interaction should multiply. We should be growing in how we're talking and how we're praying and how we're seeking him. So it says, call upon the Lord. Go to him in prayer, thanksgiving, and praise. Take the time to listen. Sometimes we just need to quiet things down and just listen. Because when I'm by myself and I'm praying in tongues, I hear things. And I pray in tongues in different scenarios and different situations, but when it's quiet, things are revealed. Because there's no other distractions around me. We have to have these times if we want to grow. The goal is growth. The goal is relationship. And I don't care if it's 2 minutes. Start with something where things just get quiet. Put the kids to bed and stay up 10 minutes later and pray. Just something. Romans 10, 12 through 13 says, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all. Right there, just some powerful stuff, right? There's no more distinction. Not that the Jews still have promises, not that they didn't serve a purpose, but now that Christ has come, we have been unified. We have been unified because we are all in him. He is Lord of all. And then it goes on to say, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You will be saved, but he also bestows his riches upon us. That's why it doesn't just stop at being saved. It's only just begun. The rest of this life is a seeking, is an understanding, is searching out relationship, because when we do, we're blessed. Those riches pour in. And then verse 7. So I took some liberties here. Now, I'm not trying to change the Bible. All right? I didn't erase anything. I just want to show you what, because we can insert ourselves in here, right? So I'll read verse 7 quick. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So this is how I believe we can take it as believers. Let the redeemed forsake his way. You have been redeemed. That old way is no longer your way. We have a new way. We have a new path. And the redeemed man, his thoughts. Let your thoughts be renewed through the word, through relationship, because, man, I'm still got a ways to go on that one. Because you just fill it up with garbage for so long, man, some of that stuff really sticks. Really sticks. But let him renew us. Lean on him. Let him lean on the Lord, for he has mercy on us. And to our God, for he has abundantly pardoned. This is what we have. This is who we serve. He freely gives. He freely gives whatever you're searching for. He freely gives what you need. Now, do I believe that he is that good? And maybe that's the struggle right now. I just can't believe he is that good. Pastor, you can't tell me that he's that good. I can tell you that because that's what the Word of God says. I can't control what's going on in your life, but I can help you. if you'll receive it. I can't change anything, but he can. Right? I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what you're going through, but we have to let go of the past. We have to let our minds be renewed through this relationship and embrace what was purchased on the cross. But it all starts with letting go of the past. Because if you're hanging on to stuff that happened 10, 15, 20, I don't know, however old you are, it's a distraction. It's taking time and focus away from his vision for you. And it can be hard to do, but he is able. He is able. I couldn't do anything, any of this in my own self. I know my own self. It's pretty worthless. I can say it. It wasn't pretty. There was nothing good to talk about. There was nothing good to share. Just bleh. I see these t-shirts now that say, meh. They really make me laugh. Because I can totally identify with that t-shirt. I can. Meh. How's your life? Meh. How's work? Meh. I mean, tell me I'm not the only one here. But anyways, we'll leave it that I'm the only one. But your life doesn't have to be meh. Doesn't have to be. Your job doesn't have to be meh. Your relationship with them doesn't have to be meh. It just doesn't. It doesn't. We have to change this mindset of how boring God is and how we're just here on our own and there's nothing good for us. Figure it out. Sink or swim. That's not what this life has to be. I chose to make this life that. But it's not what it has to be. Amen? So, I'll just say this. Let this relationship cast vision in your life. Yes. Amen? Yes. Amen. Absolutely. All right. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are so, so good. That your love and your mercy and your grace and your justice knows no end, knows no beginning, no height nor depth. You love us unconditionally, Father, and you love those in the world unconditionally. And I pray for a heart, your heart, to help us see those in need, to help us see those who need you, and help, and help, help. Father, I thank you for this congregation, and I thank you for what a blessing they are, Lord. And I thank you for the growth that's happening, and I thank you for the courage and strength that's being built up to go out and share your goodness. Father, again, I just pray for opportunities throughout this week. Opportunities to grow, opportunities to share. And Lord, I just thank you for this time of fellowship we're about to partake in. We just thank you that you are so, so good and that you provide. In Jesus' name, amen.